out with the colors. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Scouts dismissed.
Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. And I especially welcome you if you are our guests today. We have some scouts and some parents with us, and we're very pleased to have them as part of our worship service today. Thank you to the scouts. And there are others who are with us, and we welcome you and hope you feel like you are a member of the body of Christ Universal. Because we're not just Calvary, we're Christians around the world, uniting under God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And what I would like to do today is just briefly mention this cross up here. This cross is a white cross with black smudges on it that was put up there on Ash Wednesday. When people came to get ashes, they were offered an opportunity to put their thumbprint or fingerprint on that cross as a symbol of our brokenness and sin during the season of Lent. So you will see this cross every Sunday between now and the rest of the season of Lent. Let's greet one another with the peace of Christ.
Thank you. Good morning. Any of you out there that happen to be a mom of an Eagle Scout gets to wear one of these.
Wear one of what?
One of these right here. All of Brian's rank, all the way to Eagle. Okay. My name is Rhonda Barlow, and I am your liturgist for the month. So I'm so glad to be here this morning as I look upon you, and you look like you're so glad to be here as well. We do have some announcements to go over. There will be two town hall meetings here in the church on Sunday, March 19th at 9:30, and then the other one at 12:15. If anyone doesn't know, these meetings are to address whether or not we need to still continue the 8:15 service and go to a one service, which would be at 10:30. If any of you all want to have a say in this or hear what's going on, you need to attend these town hall meetings that we're going to be having here at the church in regards to that. There is also a laity town hall here with the district superintendent. The event is free, of course. It does not require pre-registration. Anyone is invited to just have conversation with the superintendent, ask any questions. That happens on March 9th from 7 to 9 p.m. at Keystone United Methodist Church in Keystone Heights, if anyone wants to attend that. We also have our Lenten offering folders, and these contain the quarters that you'll be putting in them. So that's a nice goal to work towards, to do. And then also, we have a Lenten study that's going on. There's a beautiful book here by Adam Hamilton, Creed. Now, there are two Bible studies that are going on. They are on Thursdays. One is at 2, and the other one is at 6. Wednesday. Thursday at 2. There you go. And the cost for the books are $13. And we do have these books available if you want to attend either one of those Bible studies. Now, there are other announcements in the bulletin. I'm going to let you just kind of gander through those. Are there any announcements that we are not aware of here in the congregation that anyone has to say? Larry, do you have anything as far as the food? Okay. Brian, would you like to come up, please? Yes, Mr. Clark. Amen.
I just want to say thank you to the church for helping us with all the fundraisers and letting us do like spaghetti dinners here and supporting us through everything just to get us to summer camp and that's about all. All right.
Well, I know most of y'all, know me. I'm Brian Gernhardt. This is Nathan. He's one of the, you are the what rank? What are you in
Life
Scouts?
Scout.
And you're the what in the troop?
I'm the SPL, senior patrol leader.
Okay, so he's second in command, basically. No? Yeah. First, I'm sorry, you're first. You act like second sometimes. Any case, I have a little story with you, and I said this at the Cub Scout, the PAC meeting this past Tuesday. One of our scoutmasters, assistant, I should say, did a little project with the Cub Scouts on My Hero. And the My Hero that they wrote about were their parents. And I told them they could choose anyone they wanted. I was filling in for them that night. But they all chose their parents. And they chose grandparents. And they chose family. So as important as it was to... Come here. To family, okay, I chose my mother when I did it because I decided to do it with them. So here is one of my heroes, probably one of my biggest. Those Cub Scouts chose their parents and their grandparents and their family. And they chose people here as well as in the church. So you guys, if you think that you're far from us, you're not, because you're right there. And we wanted to let you know, and I wanted to say that you are our hero because you're here. You've helped us out so much. So thank you for being our hero.
Wow, I don't know how to follow that. Whew. Okay, if we could all turn in our bulletin to the opening words. Turn away from the calls of worldly success. Repent and turn back to God. Turn away from the desire to have what everyone else has. Repent and turn back to God. Turn away from greed and the race for power. Repent and turn back to God. As we enter Lent, may we turn back to God. May we seek forgiveness. May we seek healing. May we seek wholeness. Renew our hearts in this time of worship. Amen.
If you would please stand and turn to page 378. We will sing Amazing Grace.
Oh,
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Now, I want to talk to you about this cross. Does anybody remember other than Bradley? No? Well, you don't even know the question, Zachary. You have to wait till I ask the question. Okay. See this cross? It's a white cross, and it's got black marks on it. What do you think that means, Zachary? It means for Ash Wednesday. Well, we did this on Ash Wednesday. That's right. We did this on Ash Wednesday. The black marks symbolize each way individually that we sin and don't follow God. Each of these marks indicates a person who wants to be forgiven by God. And guess what happens? We are forgiven by God. But for these days before Lent, we're going to look at why we are so broken. What happens to us that we sin? And so we're going to look at that during Lent, before Holy Week, and then Easter comes. And Easter gives us a different message. But for now, it's hard to look within yourself and look at those things that are sins. That's difficult to do. Now, who knows what a sin is? A bad spirit inside of you. That's a very good way to describe it, Zachary. Anyone else want to say what they what a sin might be? Okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right. We sin when we disobey God. When we disobey God. And God tells us what to do, how? How does God tell us what to do? How do you know what God wants us to do? Bradley. Spiritually, that's the Holy Spirit helps us. Yes. That Bradley says he's in your life when you're baptized. And he is. Yeah, that is awesome. That is awesome. God says we're part of the family. And God sends help along the way. One of those ways we learn about what God wants of us is by reading our Bible. Reading our Bible and knowing our Bible. That's a very important way that we learn what God expects of us and wants of us. And so we're going to look at that for the next few weeks. And I want you to remember that when you feel guilty about something, that probably means you need to look inside yourself and see what's causing that. What is happening inside of you that you would feel bad about something. But we don't stay guilty. We become forgiven people and we move past that. And we move into living life for Christ. Let's bow our heads and pray. We pray your blessing upon these children here today and their families, and pray that they grow in your grace and strength every single day of their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue to serve and worship God this morning with the giving of our gifts. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Gracious God, for each and every gift, we give you thanks and praise, and pray your blessing upon us in our lives and as a church, that we may truly bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. you to turn in your hymnals to the bottom of page 7 as we prepare to make an invitation and then make our confession to God before coming to the table of the Lord. That table that God has set for us, a feast. But as we do, I want to mention that there are names on a board in the hallway out here. There's a new board that's going to have the names of people who are hospitalized, shut in, and in rehab posted. So you can see them, because I don't always remember to say them on Sunday morning, or I don't get word to say them until later. And so I want to make sure that we get the word out for you to pray for and to visit those of us in our congregation who are shut in or sick at home or in the hospital. And one of those is Bob Lambing. He's in Baptist South, and he had some test results that were questionable, and so they sent him to the hospital. And I'm going to mention the others quickly. Gene Story, Bill Cook, Mert Eppert, Sharon Harris, and Rosemary Googler. And we will be in prayer for all of them this week. Will you join with me as we prepare to enter into this time of communion shortly? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love and have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for a joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Dylan, will you come forward and read the scriptures for us, please?
And if you want to turn in your pew Bible, it's Matthew 4, 1 through 11.
Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." He said in reply, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, and made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to himself, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give you, if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. When ministers get together, we talk. We tell stories to one another. And once I was with a group of clergy and heard about an acolyte, and I want Bradley to pay close attention to this, an acolyte who caught her hair on fire during communion. I think it had to do with, you know, exceedingly long hair, which Bradley doesn't have to worry about, and some close quarters with a lot of candles lit. And all of a sudden, the hair was burning, and the first thing was you could smell it. And then when she turned, the choir saw it, and the associate minister jumped up and started beating the fire out with his hands, and her family in the meantime jumped up from the congregation and ran forward. And after it was all over and everybody was fine, they commented on how calm the acolyte had been during this hullabaloo. She remained quite calm. And she drew herself up and she said, "I am an acolyte, and acolytes do not panic." It's good to know who you are and how you're expected to behave. Our gospel reading for Matthew turns on these questions of identity, what it means to be the beloved Son of God. The text puts us back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he rises up out of the baptismal waters. He hears the voice of God saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And right away, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And by the way, this is the image of the wilderness right here on our altar, provided by our worship committee. They did a great job. So the devil begins to work on him and says, "If you are the Son of God," well, he actually knows already that he is the Son of God, so it's more like, "Since you are the Son of God," the devil is attempting to lead Jesus away from the true path into an almost true path. First, he tried to get Jesus to use his power to satisfy his own needs, his hunger after fasting. He says, "Since you were the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into loaves of bread?" Jesus was the first person tempted by fast food, and not the last by any means. Well, a stone becomes a loaf of pumpernickel bread, and a rock becomes a tortilla. Who will it hurt? If he is God's child, why shouldn't he have what he wants? The first temptation is to make our decisions based on the basis of what requires the least effort. We're tempted to choose the easy way when we realize how hard it is to forgive the guilty, to listen to the lonely, and share what we have with the poor. It's much easier to settle for a tepid faith. We get so used to choosing what's easiest that we end up missing what's best. Then the devil tried to get him to take an easy way to calling attention for his message. "Since you are the Son of God, why don't you throw yourself off the temple? God won't let you die, and people will know who you are and listen to you if you do this amazing thing." The first century Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would reveal himself from the temple roof. The tempter is reminding Jesus that he can be the Messiah the people want. He can be a religious teacher and skip the hard part. Jesus could have modified his ministry slightly and been what they wanted him to be. And finally, the devil put aside all pretense and said plainly, "Worship me, and I will let you rule the world." It's like the story of the Hobbit, the One Ring, to rule them all. Worship me, and you will be king of the world. So it is that the evil one does not appear to us in a red suit and a pitchfork. It's not always easy to recognize. Because the tempter appears as reasonableness, something that seems reasonable, something that seems almost true, an alternate faith. All of these temptations have an almost rightness about them. Stones into loaves, you could feed a hungry world. Well, why not? When you throw yourself off a temple, the angels catch you. Everybody will know you are the Son of God and will listen to you. Well, why not? Rule the world. You can legislate morality and create peace with justice and usher in the kingdom of heaven. If you just worship me, the devil said. So while Jesus is fasting and praying and thinking about who he is as the beloved Son of God, the devil comes and offers his suggestions. And Jesus says, "I am the Son of God, and the Son of God does not panic. The Son of God trusts the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to lead him to an awareness of who he is and what he is called to do. And that's the only voice he will follow." And Lent is a time for us to fast and pray and think about these questions of identity, of who we are and what we are to do. I love that song they sang, because a lot of people miss this. When it gets to the chorus, it's a question. It's not, "It is I, Lord." It's, "Is it I?" It's a question. We need to know who we are and what we are called to do. And like the acolyte with her hair on fire, not to panic. We must say, "I am a beloved child of God, and children of God do not panic." So here's a question for you. As a congregation, are we anxious about our future? So anxious that we would attempt desperate measures to make the world notice us again? As Christian people in a secular world, are we so concerned about being in the public eye that we lose sight of our identity as children of God? And I'm not saying we shouldn't be in the public eye. But we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing it for? For ourselves or for God? Or are we sufficiently confident in our identity as children of God, trusting enough in God's love and guidance to step out into the future full of energy and enthusiasm for whatever mission and ministry God has in store for us? There's a little note about that in the bulletin today, calling all dreamers and servants. The leaders of our congregation at the council meeting feel a sense of calling to helping hungry children. But we want to know if that's something that they just want, or is it something we as a church can do? We want to know, can we listen to God asking us to do these things? We should be listening to God's voice. So I hope you will pray on that. And then come talk to me if you have an interest in following into God's future for this church. I want to close with a prayer that's in a service in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Oh God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen and amen. As we prepare to go to the Lord, we will not turn in our hymn books. We will just come to the table after the words of institution are spoken. We come to the table not because we are good, but because God is good. And we come to get nourished for new life. We come to get turned around. We come to repent. We come to say, Lord, is it I? Is God calling you? Jesus did not panic that night. He had dinner with his friends. Although he knew what was about to happen, he calmly took a piece of the bread and he broke it for them and said, this is my body given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful. Christ's body and Christ's blood are given for us. And this is an open table. It is not, you don't have to be a member of this or any congregation to come to the Lord's table. You are invited because you are here. And you are a child of God. I invite the ushers to come after the choir. The choir will come and be served, and then the ushers will lead you and guide you to kneel and receive this feast of Almighty God for the people of God.
Thank you.
If you would please stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High."
Rest now and abide with each of you as you leave this place. Go in His